The Bible is the most extensive and authenticated historical document in history. You can put that down.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the remainder of Pastor Brian Grant's first message in the series entitled Answers to Today's Toughest Questions. And this first message deals with the question of how can I be sure God exists? In response to that question, Pastor Grant began to list four reasons we can know for sure that God does indeed exist. Last week, we heard of the teleological evidence, which means that our complex universe required a designer. Secondly, we heard how the fact that we know right from wrong is evidence of a moral God. This evening, Pastor Grant will pick it up again there. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of how can I be sure God exists?
Well, although we are born with a conscience, I believe when we keep rejecting his existence, it gets easier for us to silence our conscience. And I believe we're seeing a lot of that today, aren't we? People are silencing their conscience. And as Romans chapter 1, 12 tells us, that unfortunately, as we reject God, the Bible makes it clear that the wrath of God is now being revealed as we push him aside and say, we don't believe you exist. And what a crazy world we're now living in. Oh, my, my, my. This is not a political statement, because I'm not going to talk about gun control, what is right and what is wrong. But what I do know, that every time I hear the debate, what pains my heart is that nobody seems to ever ask, what is going on that is making so many people feel a need to kill so many people? Yes, the guns make it easy to kill a whole ton. But there seems like there is something that's making them do it. And nobody wants to talk about that part. We have rejected God. We have suppressed our knowledge of God. And all hell has broken loose. We have seared our consciences. That's for another message. The first evidence for the existence of God, the teleological evidence. Our complex universe must have had a designer. The second evidence, the moral evidence, because God is a moral being. He has written his moral law in our hearts. But third, the third evidence for the existence of God, the evidence from special revelation. The evidence from special revelation. A college student was attending a philosophy class which was discussing whether God really existed. The professor asked, have any of you ever heard God? Of course, nobody was able to say yes. He said, have any of you ever touched God? Well, nobody had ever touched him either. Have any of you ever seen God? Well, nobody had seen him either. So the professor concluded, he says, well, since none of you have heard God, touched God, or seen God, there is no God. Well, of course, one student in the class, he decided, this is a make-believe story, by the way, so don't go and say, Pastor, tell me when it actually happened. Illustration. So one of the students in the class decided, may I have a chance to speak? Well, the professor was willing to hear because he figured, who would this brave soul be? What is he going to say? So the student got up, he said, Have any of you ever heard our professor's brain? Nobody had. He said, have any of you ever touched our professor's brain? Well, nobody had. Have any of you ever seen our professor's brain? No. The student says, well, using our professor's logic, if none of us have ever heard professor's brain, touched the professor's brain, seen our professor's brain, that means our professor has no brain. It's amazing some of the arguments that people come up with to try and say that God does not exist. You know, people all over the world wonder if God really exists. And some argue that if God exists, why wouldn't he reveal himself to everyone? I want to say to somebody this morning who might be watching or listening on the radio, I want you to know that the God who exists has revealed himself. Romans chapter 1 makes it very clear that he has revealed himself in nature. He says, it's clearly seen. But the other way he has revealed himself is that he has given a special revelation. The Holy Bible is God's special revelation of himself. Write this down. The Bible is God's special revelation about himself. And in the Bible, God reveals very powerfully to us and tells us everything we need to know. Notice I said we need to know. He don't tell you everything you want to know, but he tells us everything we need to know and everything we need for life and godliness. So don't keep running around saying, why doesn't God reveal himself? For God has revealed himself through his special revelation. The Bible is the most extensive and authenticated historical document in history. You can put that down. There is no historical document that has been authenticated as much as the Bible is. The Bible is so accurate. Many archaeologists in the Middle East use the Bible to help them determine what they have found under the earth, for they know the historical information in the Bible is fully reliable. The scientists, the archaeologists who are scientists themselves, when they dig and find stuff and they don't know what period it is or what it may be, they turn to the Bible to try and find the connection. But the most important thing in the Bible is what God reveals about himself. For unless God chose to reveal himself, we would know very little about him. And so I just want to look. We don't have time to look at a whole other stuff. I'm just going to zero in on one tiny thing that he says. And I'm going to take you to the Gospel of John. I'm going to take you to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As we look here, John's Gospel chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1. And here's what the Creator God, here's what he says. John 1:1. By the way, some of you may be young Christians and you want to get to know a little bit more about John, about God, about Jesus. I was trying to encourage a young man to read the Gospel of John. He somehow wouldn't read it. And I said to him, if you really want to know a lot about Jesus, read Gospel of John, because there is no other book in the entire Bible which has so many of the words of Jesus as the Gospel of John. This is why it's so important that you read it. Do you want to hear Jesus speak to you? Well, he speaks through the whole Bible, but you'll never hear his voice as clearly as when you read the Gospel of John. This is why those of you who use those red letter Bibles, some of the pages is almost all in red, because it's Jesus himself speaking. So I encourage you, if you're a skeptic, I want to reach out to those of you who you've been raised as a skeptic. You've been raised to believe that you can't trust the Bible, you can't trust God. But I want you to know, even if that's who you are, that God loves you and that Jesus Christ died for you and that today he wants to reach out to you. But listen to how God starts the Gospel of John, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, I don't have time to go into all the theology here, but there's so much theology in just this verse. But what the Bible is telling you, in his special revelation, God is letting us know that he was there at the very beginning. But he's not only telling you that he was there in the beginning, he's identifying someone that this word, the Bible introduces to us as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So it's telling us that this person who is identified as the Word was actually there at the beginning as well. Verse 14 helps us out. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of this Word and cried and said, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me." And later on, John the Baptist, he points him out and he says, as he sees Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." This person who the Bible chronicles as the Word, this person who the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, God, who had declared himself through his handiwork of creation, this one who has revealed himself through his special revelation, he not only did that, he revealed himself even further by taking on humanity. My friend, don't question if God has revealed himself. God has revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he left the glory of heaven to reveal God to us, and he came to earth, and you'll find in a moment that he went to the cross to die for our sin. God cared so much. He not only made the world and made us, but hallelujah, he devised a plan to redeem us. Amen? What a mighty God we serve. And thank God, because this God is so awesome. There's a song we say, "My God is awesome." Am I right about that? Because he's so awesome, he not only made heaven and earth, but hallelujah, he came down and he has become our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. And when he was leaving this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was leaving, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again." Hallelujah! He's coming again. And one day, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, and we will be forever in heaven. Oh, those golden streets of heaven, some men hope to walk someday. Hallelujah! How are we going to get there? The same song. I don't know where that song popped into my mind, but I haven't heard it for so long. But the song says, listen, "I am depending on the blood." Hallelujah, Jesus Christ gave his life for us. But let me not run ahead of myself, because the fourth evidence for the existence of God is the evidence of personal faith. The evidence of personal faith. You know, the teleological evidence is arresting. The moral evidence is compelling. The evidence of special revelation is challenging. But the evidence of personal faith is assuring. For when we exercise personal faith in God, we know He exists, for He comes to live in us. Look at that scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 10. Speaking of the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, He was in the world. The world was made through Him, but the world did not know Him. He came to His own, the Jewish people, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Let me just pause those. Have you received Him? He said that His own, the Jewish people, did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, to those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Jesus Christ, God the Son, became flesh and died on the cross for our sins. And today He invites us to become His children. He says, but as many as received Him. Oh, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter who you are. And this is the wonderful news of the gospel. I am so thankful for the privilege of preaching a message that's all inclusive. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your history as to all the mess you might have done, because some of us did some stuff. Amen. The scripture simply says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. As many as received Him. Have you received Him yet? I was only 9 years old when I received Jesus into my heart. And that day, I became a child of God. And hey, the journey has not been always smooth, because there have been times I have sort of done my stuff. But I am thankful to God that the day I became a Christian, the day He received me, I received Him, and He received me and made me a child of God, and He'll never let me go. I will never be an unchild. I'm His forever. Amen. My friend, I can title this message, How Can I Be Sure God Exists? You see, I can't be sure just from the other evidences, but I can be sure God exists, because I can tell you right now, I know He exists. I know He lives, for He lives where? In my heart. And I talk to Him today. I know He lives. I know He exists, because God has guided me and steered me through so many decisions. Well, I wish I had time to give you a couple testimonies how God guided me to do stuff I would never have done on my own. Even the fact that I live in this country, on my own I would never have lived here, because that's for another day. Is He living in your heart? Is Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, who went to the cross of Calvary, is He living in your heart? Francis Collins, MD, PhD, is one of the most brilliant and influential scientists in America today. Until he retired a few months ago, he was the longest serving director of the National Institute of Health, the largest research institution in the world. Dr. Collins became an atheist while at Yale University. But years later, he started observing that the faith of his Christian patients made them better able to deal with suffering. One day, as he's with one of his patients, an older Christian woman who was suffering from severe and untreatable pain. Now, listen, get the context. This older woman has severe pain and it cannot be treated. And as he's speaking with this woman, she starts to share her faith with him. And then she said to him, "So, doctor, what do you believe?" He said, I stammered back, I'm not really sure. And that night he went home, and as he reflected, he realized, come on now, he had become an atheist without ever personally considering the evidence for God. Well, there are a lot of people running around calling themselves atheists who have never personally considered the evidence for God. Or their professor told them God does not exist. I'm speaking, I bet you, to somebody who may be listening, who you're being influenced by some ungodly person. This atheist, this brilliant scientist, he realized he had been influenced and had become an atheist, although he had not personally examined the evidence for God. That set him on a journey of exploration and research. And eventually, Dr. Francis Collins, one of America's most brilliant 21st century scientists, accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's not just an ordinary Christian. He's such a steadfast Christian. He won the Templeton Prize for his faith in Jesus Christ. Through personal faith in Jesus, Dr. Francis Collins evidenced that God is real and that the God of the Bible, as he said it, I discovered that the God of the Bible is also the God of the genome. For the God of the Bible is the creator and sustainer of this entire universe. My friend, God is not only real, he wants to have a personal relationship with you. And it can begin right now. Right now, you can begin a relationship with the God of the universe if you'll open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would certainly be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.